I've decided to call my sermon Fat Cows or Faithful Contenders. As you read the book of Amos, you discover that Amos was a shepherd and was also a farmer, a keeper of sycamore trees, and God called him into the ministry. Amos 1 verse 1 says, "The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake." Amos 7 verse 14 also gives us a bit of description about him. And it says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, 'I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people.'" God calls this humble farmer and gives him a job of speaking to the people of Israel. He lived at a place called Tekoa, which was in the small town of the wilderness of Judea, and that town was about 13 miles south of Jerusalem. If you know the history of God's people at this time, God's people had been divided into two kingdoms. There were 12 tribes of Israel. Those tribes got divided, and there was the southern kingdom, which was called Judea, and the northern kingdom was called Israel. And Amos was called of God to pronounce judgment to the northern kingdom. And it's thought that Amos had his ministry between 760 BC to 750 BC. And when God called Amos, both Judea and Israel were experiencing tremendous prosperity. Not only were they experiencing tremendous prosperity, but unfortunately, they were in terrible depravity. God's people were living in a time of great idolatry, great immorality, great indulgence in luxurious living, and there was also the corruption of judicial procedures, as well as the oppression of the poor. Sounds a little bit like Australia today, doesn't it? God was not impressed with Israel's activities at all. God was not impressed with their worship. In Amos 5 verse 21, the Bible says, "I hate," this is the Lord speaking, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts." Now, when we come to Amos chapter 4, Amos really is a little bit offensive to God's people. And what he does is he addresses the wives, first of all, of the wealthy leaders of the land. So Amos 4 verse 1, if you've got your Bibles there, this is what Amos says. "Hear this word, ye kine," or the other translations say cows, "ye cows of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, 'Bring and let us drink.' The Lord hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks." Now, Amos here is addressing the women of Israel, and he doesn't do it in very flattering terms. He calls them cows of Bashan. And if you study where Bashan was, it's in the northern part of Israel, and it's where we know as the Golan Heights today. And they used to take the cattle there to the Golan Heights for fattening. So really, he's addressing the women in his audience and calling them or aligning them to fat cows. Amos hadn't been to theological college. He was a farmer, remember? He wasn't of the priestly line. He was an unexpected prophet coming to the people. He was an unexpected spokesman, and he came with an unexpected message to God's people of the time. Remember, they're a worshipping people. They're a people that claim that God is their Lord. It's great to see that God uses simple people to bring powerful messages. And if you look throughout history, Christian history, you often see that God will raise up a man that hasn't had theological education, a simple man, and God will use him to speak to God's people. And that's what he did with Amos. In actual fact, when you think of Amos being a humble farmer and God using him to speak for him, we can all be encouraged, because God wants to use each of us. You may not have any education. You may not have a trade. You may not have finished the HSC. But God wants to use all of us, no matter what position we're in. God's got a message for us, and we have the gospel. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a mighty message that God loves us in the person of Jesus and sent his Son to die on the cross for the sins of all humanity. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I'm very encouraged when I read what Paul wrote to you. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, he said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." I think the people of Israel would have thought that someone would come and bring God's message from the priestly line, someone that was very important. But no, God takes a humble farmer, a humble shepherd, and he brings his message through this man. If Amos lived in our day and age and he got to preach into a modern church, and if the church leadership got a report of Amos's message, they might take him aside and they might say, "Amos, look, I know you haven't been to theological college, but when you start out the sermon, don't call the ladies fat cows in our church. It's not politically correct. And particularly, don't call the deacons and the elders' wives, don't call them fat cows. You won't get a prophet's career if you offend the people." I could imagine the people talking after Amos had spoken at church and saying, "He's not going to get a job to preach here again. He's an insulting man. We won't have him in this place." I could imagine them saying, "Go back to your day job, Amos. You're a shepherd. You're a sycamore tree keeper. You're not a preacher. You're actually preaching what we don't want to hear." You know, I think the need of the hour is for preachers to come into the pulpits like Amos. The world and the church today doesn't need politically correct, theological corrupt, ear-tickling preachers. The world and the church today need preachers that see reality and who speak reality. The world and the church today need preachers that see the depravity of our age and who are not afraid to denounce the depravity that they see all around them. The world and the church today needs to hear preachers that warn of the judgment to come, and also they need to hear of preachers that there is an answer. There is an answer to judgments, and that is Jesus, coming to him for forgiveness of sins, for freedom of judgment. Immoral, idolatrous, indulgent Australians need to hear the cry of Amos from all those years ago. Amos 4 verse 12, Amos here says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." That cry needs to go out to Australia. Australia, prepare to meet thy God, Australia, because judgment is coming. Amos denounced God's people, and he wasn't a politically correct puppet prophet for the people. He was God's man for the hour who took aim at God's people for their failures. We need Amos's today. And one of the reasons why we need Amos's today is because I believe that we are living in the church age of the Laodiceans. If you read Revelation chapters 2 to 3, you see the last church mentioned in chapter 3 is the church of the Laodiceans. And I personally believe we are living in the Laodicean church age. It's the age that we're living in. Look what John wrote about the Laodiceans. I know thy works. This is Revelation 3 verse 15. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is the description that the Lord Jesus gives of the Laodicean church. And I believe it's the description he gives of the church age that we are living in now. We live in a lukewarm, immoral, idolatrous, intoxicated, indulgent Australia. And I'm afraid the last day's church is contaminated with the spirit of the age. In many places, the spirit of compromise. Amos 4 verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine, or ye cows of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. God's people in Amos's day were living in luxury while others were living in poverty. The women of Israel lounged about during the day drinking wine and telling their husbands what to do. They and their husbands oppressed the poor. You know, when we think about this, we think about the description of the women described as cows, described as oppressing the poor, crushing the needy, described as drinking. You know, alcohol is gripping the church in many places. Alcohol is gripping the church leaders in many places and their wives as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 verse 20, be not among winebibbers, among righteous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. I'm afraid in many places, people in Australia are intoxicated with the alcohol of our day. And the church needs to be warned about that as well. Amos warns God's people. The women, because of their sins, were fattening themselves up for slaughter. I think that's what he was trying to say. And in the Golan Heights, what they did, they put the cows up there to fatten them. They were actually fattening them up on the Golan Heights for slaughter. And I think that's what Amos was considering. Amos described what would happen to the women of Israel when the Assyrians would invade Israel. The Assyrians would treat the women of Israel like cattle. The Assyrians, this is fact, would put hooks in the lips or the noses of their captives and then attach ropes to those hooks and lead them about like cattle. This is what the Assyrians were going to do to the indulgent women of Israel. Amos 4 verse 2. The Lord has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks. Remember, he's talking to the ladies here. And your posterity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Verse 4, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, and multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. I think Amos is in considering here or calling out to the people, well, come to the places of your false worship. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Notice he's talking about their sin at these places of worship. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you. O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. The children of Israel would go to Bethel, and they would go to Gilgal. They were important places of worship. But unfortunately, these places had become places of idolatry. God's people were actually worshipping pagan gods at these two places when they claimed to worship the true God. And the Israelites loved their pilgrimages to special places, but God saw their hearts and God saw their indulgence and God saw their immorality and God saw their idolatry, and God was not pleased. Many of the Israelites were blind to their idolatry. They probably thought, well, if we just go to Bethel, we make our pilgrimage, or we just go to Gilgal, we make our pilgrimage, make that effort, that God will be pleased. God was not. You know, when we think of the church today, you can be religious and not right with God. You can be a Christian and yet be carried away with the world, even in the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder about some of the big super churches today. I wonder, are people going there because of the feelings they get? Or because in some of those places, the false teachings that they get? Are they going there for enjoyment? Or are they going to worship the true living God? The church today is rich in the name of Christ. The church is selling millions of albums and millions of videos and millions of books and millions of Christian accessories. But is there a pervading sense of holiness in the church today? Is there a prevailing sense of humbleness? Is there a pervading burden on the hearts of believers for the glory of God and for the lost that do not know Jesus? We can have our big conferences here in Australia. If you're a Christian here in Australia and you're reasonably well off, you can fly around the world and probably go to a conference every month. Although we're happy to go to the places of worship, but their places of worship ended up being places of idolatry. The people were beset by luxury, by idolatry, and by hypocrisy. Amos 5 verse 21, I hate, I despise your feasts, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. You can have false worship in the church today. You can have false pastors in the church today. You can have false messages in the church today. You can have false miracles in the church today. God hated what was going on with the people of Israel because their worship was false. In Amos chapter 4, God accuses Israel 5 times of not returning to him. Look at Amos 4 verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord. God gave them hunger, and they did not return to him. Amos 4 verse 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Back in Amos' day, God rained rain on selective cities. just like today in Australia. Some cities are getting rain and some cities are not getting rain. God is in charge of the weather. And back here, this is what was happening. And interesting, in verse 8, so two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. It was the news last night, and there's all these tankers. There's these Irish guys that are involved in trucking. They decided that they would take truckloads of water from one city to another city. They decided that they would take truckloads of water to Armidale. Whoever have thought in Australia's history that we would be trucking water to Armidale, fresh drinking water, so people could drink? Very interesting here. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. There would be plans now in a lot of New South Wales is, what city are we going to take water for our city? Yet in the end, what's going to happen if that city that they take water from runs out? We are in desperate times in Australia. God withheld the rain, but he allowed rain on selective cities. Why did God do that? Well, I think God was showing his people that he was in charge. It was not just nature in charge. It was God who was in charge. And God made it rain where he wanted it to rain. Amos 4 verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 6. Yet ye have not returned unto me. Verse 8. Yet ye have not returned unto me. Verse 9. Yet ye have not returned unto me. God caused the destruction of their crops, yet they did not return to him. Amos 4 verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God sent disease, God sent death. And if you read the history of Israel, the Assyrians conquered Israel and the Babylonians took Judah, the southern kingdom, into captivity. Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. There might have been some sort of natural judgment there. Might have been an earthquake or something like that. I'm not sure. But it appears that some had been rescued and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God warned his people through Amos and God warned his people through catastrophes, and yet they did not return to him. And you find out, as you study the history, it ended up being too late. They didn't heed the call of God. Look at verse 12. Therefore, thus I will do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Our nation needs to do the same. The nation of Australia needs to be prepared to meet God. Our nation is beset by disasters at present. And I believe that God can use those disasters to speak to Australians, to prepare Australians to meet their God. Australia needs to take notice of the sins of our nation. We, like the Israelites, are an immoral, indulgent, idolatrous, and intoxicated nation. And we are largely lukewarm about the things of God. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to raise up an army of Amoses, men that will preach the truth in this age of apostasy that we're living in. Our nation's sins are many. In 2015, it was estimated by the Johnson Archive that there were 63,200 abortions that year. Now, if you think about that, just over 27,000 Australians were killed in the time of World War II. So every year, Australian babies are dying at the hands of Australians at twice the rates of all Australians that were killed in World War II. That is disgusting. If children survive the womb today in Australia, then at most schools they are taught that they are merely an accident of evolution. Many are taught that there is no God. Numbers are taught the Safe Schools program, which is not a safe schools program. And children now witness a nation that is gripped by intoxication and immorality and indulgence and idolatry. Sin used to sneak down back streets. Now it marches down main streets. Homosexuality is not only permitted, but it's celebrated and even promoted. And if you speak out against that in our society today, you're the one that's in the wrong. The greatest need of this nation in this vital hour is prayer, and also men and women like Amos, who will not compromise with the spirit of the age. Sadly today, there are pastors that are being manoeuvred by the world rather than being moved by the word. God wants prophets in the public, and God wants prophets in the pulpit and not puppets of the world. Israel Folau is in trouble again. What's he in trouble for this time? Well, he's in trouble about preaching a sermon. He preached a sermon in Kenthurst, down in Sydney, and in his sermon he said, "Australia, you need to repent." Folau quoted Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, verse 5, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." Folau dared to suggest that perhaps what Australia is going through at the present time might be part of the judgment of God. Do you know what's ironic is that there are so many people, and I would say the majority of people in Australia, don't believe in God. So why should they get upset about his sermon? If they don't believe in the Bible, if they don't believe in God, if they don't believe in judgments, leave Israel alone. Why are they so upset? Well, I'll tell you why they're so upset. Because sinful man suppresses the truth that he already knows. And they might say, well, I don't know the Bible. They've got no excuse. Because in Romans 2 verse 15, the Bible says, "Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts are meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." God has revealed himself in the nation of Australia to men and women via the conscience. Not only creation, conscience. Not only conscience, the canon of Scripture. Not only the canon of Scripture, the Christian. You are salt and light. God is beaming his word out. God is beaming his testimony out in so many ways to Australian society. But they will not have it. They're like the people of Israel. The fat cows, that were content in their idolatry and their immorality and their indulgence. How sad. We need to pray for Israel Folau, because he's not afraid to say what people need to hear in this country. He's not saying what people want to hear. He's saying what people need to hear. Amos said to his people in his day, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." We need Amoses today. Amoses that will be saying to Australia, "Prepare to meet thy God, Australia, because judgment is coming." You know, you can only be prepared to meet God if you know Jesus Christ as Saviour. And the way to prepare to meet God is to recognise the fact that God loves you. God loves this world, but God will judge sin. And God did judge sin some 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and God poured out his anger and judgment on his only Son. He poured out his anger and judgment so that we don't have to experience the judgment of God. When Jesus went to the cross, he went as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Amos really was an ambassador for God in his day. He wasn't a preacher of the priestly line, just a simple shepherd that God wanted to use. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Australia needs Amoses. But Australia needs people like him that will stand before an ungodly nation, an indulgent nation, an intolerant nation, an adulterous nation, and to tell that nation that they need to prepare to meet thy God. We need preachers in this nation and we need prayers in this nation. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. Fat cows or faithful contenders? May we be faithful contenders. May we pray for the faithful contenders today. Lord, we thank you for the bravery of the prophet Amos, who said uncomfortable things to a people that were comfortable, who faced his own idolatrous people, people living in luxury, despising the poor, with their fake worship that made God sick. We thank you that you called him from the sycamore trees and the herds to proclaim the very words of God to a disobedient people. Lord, would you raise up Amoses today? Would you use each person in this room that knows the Lord Jesus as Saviour? Would you use us to go to this sinful world with the good news of the gospel, that Jesus has paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left its crimson stain, but he's washed it white as snow.